Welcome to the Northview Church Podcast. Here at Northview, our mission is to connect people with God and to connect people with people. You can join us each weekend live at one of our Indianapolis locations or online through our online campus. Visit www.northviewchurch.us for specific times and locations. Now, let's join lead pastor Steve Poe for this week's message.
Well, good morning, Northview. How cool are the baptisms? I absolutely love the service. Those are the first 52 of 2016. I'm excited to see how many will be baptized in this coming year. Yeah. Well, as Waylon was just talking about, I wanted to tag on to that. We've been talking about healing as a choice now for several weeks. This series we're going to start here the 1st of February. And it's based on the book Healing is a Choice by the author Stephen Otterburn. And Stephen is going to actually be here to deliver that talk, all those talks. And so you'll want to be here. We've put together an entire campaign for our life groups. And so with that campaign is a participant's guide. And those are out there today. And you will, even if you're not in a life group, you may want to pick one of these up. It's $5 suggested donation. But listen, if you don't have the money, just grab one. We want you to have one. You can use it to take notes in the weekend services. But if you're in a life group, you will need one of these because all the life group information is in here and you'll be taking this to your group. So be sure and pick up one of these per person for your life group. And in the life group, for those of you who aren't aware, we have some teaching, some training, and then there's always a story, a testimony. And Steve Otterburn, we sent those to him to take a look at them, and he just said, man, I don't even need to get up there and teach. Just show those stories. That's amazing. And so you'll want to be a part of a life group. Some of you are not in a life group, and listen to me if you would. I would encourage you to just gather a group of people in your home. Just gather a group of coworkers, neighbors, friends, family members, and say, you want to go through this healing as a choice with me. We'll give you everything you need. And so on your way out today, if you would consider doing that, just stop by the ministry hub, give them your contact information, and they will get back with you and give you everything you need, the DVD, all the training, everything that you need to pull one of those off. We've been encouraging you to do this for the last few campaigns, Keep Calm and Carry On, the Joseph series, Family Matters, and several of you have taken us up on that and have had tremendous results. We've been hearing stories about how unchurched neighbors were coming and really getting into it and even visiting our church. Some of you may be new to our church because you gathered with one of your neighbors. So please, think about gathering a group of your unchurched friends for healing is a choice. You say, well, I don't know if they'd be interested. This topic covers everybody. Listen, everybody struggles with hurt sometimes in their life and with habits in their life, and this will be a help to them. Stephen's going to give you tools. He's going to give you the things that you need to improve the hurts and habits and hang-ups in your life. So please consider being a part of that. And as Waylon said, Friend Weekend is the first weekend, and so please bring somebody with you. Just plan on bringing a neighbor, bringing a coworker with you, and you'll be glad that you did. They will love that. Well, I'm anxious to jump into this today, so let me just begin with prayer. Father, God, I just thank you and I praise you for your faithfulness, Lord. You are an incredible God, and as we've witnessed these baptisms today, Lord, I know that you smile upon this place, and I just rejoice in those that have made this decision to follow you and just to take the next step in their spiritual journey. We just pray you would continue to bless our efforts. But God, we're thankful for all that you're doing in every church throughout this community. And we pray your favor would be upon each and every Bible teaching church. I pray specifically today for College Park Baptist Church. I thank you for that great congregation and for their pastor, Mark Vrogop. I pray, Lord, your blessings would be upon them. I thank you for his friendship, that we could link arms together to make a difference throughout central Indiana. God, we just love you. And now as we continue on in this series, God, just challenge us, open up our eyes and ears that we could see and hear all that you want to do in each of our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. I don't know if you remember or not, but maybe you read about it or heard about it. There was a chess match between the chess champion, who was Garry Kasparov, and an IBM computer called Deep Blue. I don't know if any of you remember this. The first match was played in Philadelphia in 1996, and it was won by the reigning champion, Kasparov. Well, the second match was played in New York in 1997, and it was won by Deep Blue. It was the first time that a computer was able to beat the reigning world chess champion. Now, it later became the subject of a documentary film called The Man Versus the Machine. And yet, listen to what Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias later wrote about this very event. He quotes Dr. David Galinter, I think is how you say his name, a one-time professor of computer science at Yale University, in an article for Time magazine. And this is what he said. Listen. He said, the idea that Deep Blue has a mind is absurd. How can an object that wants nothing, fears nothing, enjoys nothing, needs nothing, and cares about nothing have a mind? So yes, it can win at chess, but not because it wants to. It isn't happy when it wins or sad when it loses. I mean, what are its after-the-match plans if it beats Kasparov? Is it hoping to take Deep Pink out for a night on the town? The computer does not care about chess or anything else. It plays the game for the same reason a calculator adds or a toaster toasts, because it's a machine designed for that purpose. It was a lot more than this article, but he went on to say, the gap between human and surrogate is permanent and will never be closed. Machines will continue to make life easier, healthier, richer, and more puzzling. And human beings will continue to care, ultimately about the same things they've always cared about one another, and many of them about God. Listen, friends, what a unique capacity that God has put within each human being, the capacity to feel, the capacity to experience emotion. No machine will ever experience that. Now, if you've been here for a while, you know that we're in a five-week series called How to Build Strong Bodies. For those of you that are our guests today, we've been talking about five things that we think will help you grow. In other words, as we get into a new year and we're talking about New Year's resolutions, why do we do New Year's resolutions? Because we want this year to be better than last year. We want 2016 to be better than 2015. And so how are we going to do that? How are we going to achieve it? And I believe that if you'll work on these five areas, if you'll write them down and put notes on them, and each day of your life just maybe think about how I can improve in each of these five areas, I'll guarantee you, friends, by the time you get to the end of 2016, you will be more spiritually fit than you were in 2015. You will be closer to God than you were in 2015. You will be a stronger individual and a better person for it. The five things that we're talking about is how to improve physically, spiritually, relationally, emotionally, and financially. If you work on those areas, I promise you, your year is going to be better than it was last year. So today, we're going to look at emotional health. Now, seriously, I think we forget just how much our emotions play into our life. For instance, think about how many emotions you experienced already today. Think about how many emotions you've experienced this past week. Anger, affection, anxiety, boredom, compassion, depression, disappointment, embarrassment, envy, fear, gratitude, grief, guilt, happiness, hatred, homesickness, humiliation, jealousy, loneliness, love, regret, self-pity, shame. Seriously, friends, those are just a few of the emotions that you've experienced in this past week. Some good, of course, and some not so good. Of course, God could have created us without emotions if he would have chosen to. We could be intelligent, calculating, and sensitive machines, but life would be incredibly dull. It's true that there would be no sorrow, but there would be no joy either. We would live without a sense of anticipation. We would not experience the comfort that comes during a time of tragedy in our life. Life would move forward without the laughter of children, without the spontaneity of lovers, without the sympathy of friends. But friends, fortunately for us, God is not like that, nor does he want us to be like that either. Our emotions were given not to control us, but that we might be able to truly enjoy life. And yet I wonder, in my life, I wonder, how do I get so bogged down at times with my emotions? You think about it, we're all that way, really. Our emotions at times can be such a wonderful thing, and other times it can really bog us down. I find myself doing a lot of self-talk. Can you relate to that? You know, you just gotta let it go, Steve. They didn't mean to say that. They weren't trying to hurt your feelings. I'm certain that they care about you. You know what? I'm worried. I'm not sure how I'm going to pull this off. I'm fretting. I'm full of fear. You know, I shared with you a couple weeks ago when I was talking about physical, how to work on the physical part of our life. And I said to you that I do the elliptical every morning for about 45 minutes. And of course, you try to do anything you can to make the time go by fast. And as I do the elliptical, I would tell you that even if I'm watching a television or the news or whatever, that my mind is just going a million miles an hour. It's drifting from one topic to another. And maybe I'm thinking about some decisions I made this week, and I'm a little bit concerned whether they were the right decisions. And so I find myself beginning to fret just a little bit. And so my mind goes off in this direction. And then all of a sudden, maybe I'm thinking about something else that's going on that I'm pretty excited about. And so now I'm feeling pumped. I'm feeling excited about what's going on there. And so what I find is that my emotions are a roller coaster in my mind. Can you relate? It's like they just seem to be all over the map at times. You know, sometimes I think we second guess ourselves as well. And it was just a few months ago, actually, in 2015, the earlier part of the year. And I had put together a series of messages that I was going to bring to you guys. And all along, I just kept second guessing myself on the series, but I kept pushing forward, and I'd written two of the messages, and as I've shared before, it takes me about 20 hours to write a message, so I had over 40 hours invested in those two messages, and there were four more to write. And then we got the video team together, and we were going to put together a life group curriculum on this, and so there were four guys plus myself that we videoed all day long, the training for the life groups. And so we put in probably a 10-hour day that day, maybe longer than that. So all those guys were invested in this series as well. And then just a couple days later, it's like I couldn't let it go. And then finally, I just said, I just don't know if this series is going to reach the unchurched. If we have unchurched people that come, I just don't know if it will challenge them. I don't know if it will speak to them. And so I call everybody up, and I said, we're going to can it. And they're like, what? I said, we're going to can it. We're not going to do it. Well, what do you mean? I mean, we're not going to do it. Now, some people would say, well, Steve, maybe that was God telling you. Maybe, but we'll never know because I'm not going to do the series. So, and again, as I looked back on that, even after I made the decision and canned the series and canned all that effort that we'd put into it, I still found myself second-guessing myself. Maybe I should have. Maybe we should go for it. And back and forth. That's what happens at times when we overthink things with our emotions. Our emotion can cause us to react sometimes pretty aggressively. Maybe you've found yourself saying something to somebody that was really over the top, you know, and you look back on it and you think, I don't know why I reacted the way I did, because sometimes we just lash out at people that we love. So let's talk about our emotions, and to better understand the complexity of our emotions, we have to examine two key questions. So if you haven't pulled your notes out, please do so, because I certainly want you to have these notes if you're going to use these as a part of your New Year's resolution. We're going to look at two key questions. Why do we experience emotions, and then how should we express them? So number one in your notes, why do we experience emotions? We experience emotions because God designed us as emotional beings. We've already said that. For example, remember when the attorney comes to Jesus, and he says, you know, Lord, I've been memorizing all the commandments since I was a child, and there were over 600 laws that they had to memorize as a good Jewish boy. He said, I've been memorizing them all. And Lord, I want to know, what's the most important commandment? And this is what he said in Mark chapter 12. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Okay, we're going to stop right there for just a second. Right out of the gate, we can see that the commandment, out of all the 600 commandments, the commandment that Jesus wants him to remember, the commandment that Jesus said is the most important commandment, is all about emotions. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. He's like, this is about as emotional as you can be. This is the type of passion that God wants us to have in our relationship with him. the type of love that he wants us to have for him. This type of love transcends head knowledge. This is the kind of love for God that is passionate and understand what makes him worthy of our total surrender. This is the kind of love that results in an emotional response. This is the kind of love and why we lift our hands in worship and why we cry out to God with uninhibited praise. This is the kind of love that at times it brings tears to our eyes. I can't tell you how many times people come up to me and they'll say, Steve, why is it in the worship service I find myself so emotional? Because our relationship with God needs to be an emotional relationship. It needs to be one of passion, of deep love for a God that loves us. You know, given the fact that God designed us with emotions, the second question seeks to understand, number two, what do we then do with those emotions? Emotions are essentially neutral in and of themselves. In other words, they're neither good nor bad by themselves. I could give you numerous examples, but think about anger as a perfect one. You know, we say, remember, folks, God designed emotions. And so we look at anger and we say, well, is anger good or is anger bad? And naturally, we oftentimes think of anger as being bad because we lash out and we hurt the people that we love or we respond to anger. But anger in itself, as every other emotion, anger in itself is not good or bad. It's how we use it. It's what we do with it, how we respond to it. So there is a righteous indignation, for instance. What comes to mind is MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, was created because of the anger of some moms that had lost their children to drunk drivers. It created them to do an incredibly good thing, create an incredibly great organization. At the same time, you know, the Bible says very clearly, be angry, but sin not. It says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So it's just saying, you know, if you have the emotion of anger, you need to know it's very volatile. So if you have the emotion of anger, you need to know, don't hang on to it. You need to deal with it. You need to move on from that emotion. So we just talked about how we manage or handle those emotions determines how we do, what we do with those emotions, how we respond to those emotions determines the impact they're going to have in our life. Now, if you were here the first week, when we talked about the physical, I said that there is one thing that's very unique about humanity, and that is that God made us with body, soul, and spirit. God made us with body, soul, and spirit. There's nothing else, no other creature on earth except mankind that has that. And so the thing that's unique about those is that all three of them want to rule the other two. So you have the body, this physical temple that we live in, that wants to rule the other two. It wants to rule. It wants to lead by self-gratification. It wants to do those things that gratify. But then we have the soul, which is our emotions, our feelings. And if you let the emotions lead, the soul lead, then it's going to be about how we feel. Everything we do is going to be based on how we feel about something. And a lot of people are letting the soul lead in their life. But then there's the spirit, and the spirit is that piece of God placed within you, that little piece of God, the spirit that's in your life. And God's desire is that your spirit lead the other two, because God wants you to walk in the spirit, to be what's called spirit-led, so that your spirit identifies with the Holy Spirit and is directed by God's purposes and plans for your life. But for that to happen, it's going to have to be your decision. You can't allow the others, you can't just kind of go through life and just say, well, whatever happens, happens, because there'll be times your body will lead out, there'll be times your emotions will lead out, at times your spirit. You have to determine, for me, I'm going to be spirit-led in my life. That's certainly God's desires for you. And so what you have to do is you have to bring your emotions under spirit's influence in your life. If our soul or our feelings are not handled properly, they can actually be unreliable. I'll say it again. If our soul or if our feelings are not handled properly, they can actually be unreliable. Your feelings will deceive you. There are times, my friends, where you will base your decision. You'll say, well, you know, all I can tell you is it's what I feel. And because I feel that way, this is the way I'm going to respond. And the problem is your feelings are deceiving you. And that's why we have to have a foundation. That's why we have to have a bedrock. And the bedrock is the Word of God. The bedrock is God's word. Jesus said, I am the way and I am the truth. I don't just speak truth, I am the truth. So the word of God is based on truth. It's truth. And so therefore, anything we're doing in our life needs to be gauged off the word of God. So therefore, somebody might be saying to you, well, you know, the scripture's pretty clear here that you really shouldn't do that. Well, I know what the scripture says, but gosh, right now, this is what I'm feeling. I'm going to go with my feelings. Well, you can do that, but more times than not, you're going to find out you've been deceived by your feelings. Because your feelings never trump truth. Your feelings never trump the word of God. Look at Proverbs chapter 14. There is a way that seems right to a man. Your feelings make it feel like it's right. It's what I'm feeling. But in the end, it leads to death. Not everything you feel is grounded in reality. You know, I feel like I'm good enough to make it to heaven, Steve. I don't think I need to pray a prayer. I know I'm married, but I feel like God brought this person into my life. I know sex outside of marriage is wrong, but I feel like God understands. Friends, that's why it's so important to understand, again, the truth of God's word always trumps our feelings. It needs to be the bedrock in your life. It needs to be the foundation for your spiritual life. Steve, I know I'm married, but I have these feelings towards this person. You know, they just seem to connect with me. Friends, listen to me on this. Emotional affairs are on the rise today because of social media. Emotional affairs are on the rise today like never before because of social media. Because what you have is you all of a sudden connect with someone of the opposite sex and you start conversing back and forth, and all of a sudden you think, gosh, they really connect with me. They understand me. They get me. And you think there's not a thing in the world wrong with this because we're not even together personally. There's not a thing wrong with this because there's nothing physical going on. So this is okay. I don't need to feel guilty for this. It's just God has brought this person in my life because they understand me. So God brought this person to help me out. If you think that's true, why not tell your spouse? See if they agree with you. To say to your wife or to say to your husband, I have connected with this wonderful person on Facebook. And I just got to tell you, he understands me. He connects with me like you never have. Now, please understand. There's nothing physical going on. It's just they get me. It's okay with you, isn't it? Oh, sure, go ahead. It's all right with me. Do you really think that's the way your spouse is going to respond? I don't. If they do, you don't have a very healthy marriage. Because your spouse is going to say, are you out of your mind? No, I don't want you to be in that relationship. I don't want you to have that going back and forth. Why? Because we understand how powerful emotions are. And we know that we do not want, you know, sex is one thing, friends, but it's a whole nother thing when you connect with someone emotionally. And that's the last thing we want. In fact, sometimes I would tell you it's more serious of a sin to connect with that person of the opposite sex emotionally than the sex is. Now, I'm not telling you sex is good with someone you're not married to. I'm just telling you emotional connection can be extremely dangerous in your life. We all realize how powerful emotions are. We don't want our spouse to be emotionally tied to someone else. So if you don't step back from your feelings, they're going to lead you away from God's best in your life. We always have to check our feelings against the truth of God's word. Look at it. I love this in Psalms 119. Your word, the Bible, is a lamp to guide my feet. The word of God is a lamp to guide you. It's to give you direction. It's that bedrock and a light for my path. In John chapter 8, it says, and you will know the truth. We already said that. Who's the truth? Jesus is the truth. And Jesus, we gave us the word of God so that we would know truth. And you will know the truth, and the truth will do what? The truth will set you free. The truth of God's word can keep us from being misled by our emotions. Listen, everything today plays to our emotions. Every advertisement, every product logo or slogan is designed to grab your emotions and convince you to purchase their product. And that's why we have to learn to practice self-control over our emotions. You know, the example that comes to my mind is Paul and Timothy. I don't know what was going on and why Paul wrote this to Timothy, but whatever the case, Timothy was being overwhelmed with fear for some reason. Something was going on. And Paul was concerned that Timothy had allowed fear to get a grip in him. And so Paul writes to him and he says, you know, Timothy, he said, the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. He said, those are the emotions you need to recognize that God has given you. And friends, the same is true for every one of us. We have to understand how important self-control is in our life, especially when it comes to our emotions. In Proverbs chapter 25, it says, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. Friends, we need to manage our feelings and maintain control over our emotions so that our emotions don't lead us into making some very regretful decisions. God wants us to have a healthy emotional life. And there are several things in the Word of God that show us how to get there. So here's the points, here's the secrets that I'm going to give you in your notes today that I hope you'll write down and I hope you'll use all year long. And I take these out of Philippians chapter 4. We'll start with verse 4. It says, rejoice. That's an emotion. Rejoice in the Lord always. Not sometimes, not most times. The instruction is rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, I've said to you before, if you've been around here, that happiness is based on circumstances. If you're in great circumstances, you're happy. If your circumstances go bad, you're no longer happy. They rise and fall based on our circumstances. Joy is something completely different. Joy is based on your relationship with God. It has nothing to do with circumstances. So if you have a right relationship with God, you are full of joy regardless of what's going on in your life. So the first secret or the first point in your notes is rejoice in the Lord. You know, if you think about it, we can't always rejoice over our circumstances or in our health or finances. We can't always rejoice in our family or our job or even our accomplishments, but we can always rejoice in the Lord. Jesus is our constant source of joy. Why? Because true joy, as I said, comes from a right relationship with Him. You know, it's important to remember that Paul wrote this letter from a prison cell. Paul's given us these instructions that we need to always rejoice, and he's writing it from a prison cell in Rome. And his only crime was being bold with his faith. His only crime was talking about Jesus. So if you think about it, Paul had every excuse to be angry at God, but instead, we see he's overflowed with joy. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Emotional health does not deny the loss. Emotional health does not deny the pain or injustice done in our life. That's not what I'm saying. But the Bible says even Jesus was acquainted with grief. Even Jesus was acquainted with grief. He cried. I mean, he wept at the death of his good friend Lazarus. And he cried. He wept profusely as he looked out over the lost condition of Jerusalem. The Bible tells us in several places throughout the gospel that Jesus felt compassion. So emotional health is not about being joyful all the time. It's about being joyful in Christ. I can have joy in the midst of my sorrow. Why? Because I know Jesus has my back. Because I know Jesus has a purpose and plan for my life. I love that. You see, that's why, you know, people say, well, you know, everything in your life right now is going really bad. How can you be full of joy? I'm full of joy because I know regardless what's going on around me, God has a purpose and plan for my life, and I believe that and I trust that. So therefore, in spite of my circumstances, I can have joy in Jesus because I know He has my back. I read a story not long ago about, I thought it was great and it applied here. Professor William Phelps taught English at Yale back in the early 1900s, and Dr. Phelps was grading a test scores one day in December when he noticed one of his students had written beside a question. It was a very tough question, and he'd written out to the side, only God knows the answer to this question, Merry Christmas. Well, the professor wrote his own note under the student's note and gave him the paper back and said, well, God gets an A, you get an F, Happy New Year. I love that. God gets an A. You see, that's what I'm saying to you, friends. God gets an A when it comes to dependability. God gets an A when it comes to being able to trust God in our life because we can know He always has our back. When your world is falling apart and nothing seems to be going your way, God gets an A. He's always worthy of our love and praise. For goodness sakes, friends, He promises to work all things together for our good. means what? We talked about it before. It just literally means God's promises. He's going to take this bad circumstance, this bad situation in your life, and somehow, I don't know how he does it, but somehow, some way, he's working those things together for you. He's working those things together for your good if you just trust him. Verse 5. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Now, this one, the secret to the emotional health here is to relax. You say, well, I don't get the connection. Well, follow me through on my thinking here. Paul says, when you know Christ is coming back, you can chill. When you know Jesus Christ is coming back for you one day, you can relax, you can be at peace. Because you know God's got this. You say, yeah, but what about that person that hurt me? What about that person that offended me? You know that there's coming a time where Jesus will take care of all the wrong and all the injustice that's going on in our world. You know that our emotions can create desire oftentimes to retaliate. Our emotions can create this desire to get even with someone that's wronged us. And yet God's word is calling us to chill out, to just simply relax and trust him. That was offensive, that what that person said to me, God. But you know what? I trust you. And I know there's an upper story, and I know in the upper story, God, you're at work, and I believe that, and I trust that. In Romans chapter 12, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, this is what you and I are supposed to do. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. That doesn't make sense. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. He's just saying, if there are people that are hurting you, people that are doing things that are wrong to you, it totally will confuse them. It'll totally blow their mind. You just love them. You just minister to them. Can you see he's encouraging self-control over our emotions? That's what, when we talked about self-control, that's what I mean. It means being intentional that even though everything within me, my feeling, I feel like getting even. I feel like retaliating. But I have self-control over my emotions, and so therefore, what am I going to do? I'm going to bless them. I'm going to bless this person that intended to hurt me. You conquer evil by doing good. When we do relax, we find our emotions will calm down. There's a lot less fear. There's a lot less worry. I mean, haven't you ever seen somebody that lost control of their emotions and you finally just said, would you just chill out? Would you just calm down, take a breath? Research has indicated that people who know how to relax actually live longer. In fact, that's what he's talking about in the next two verses. Verse 6, he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Man, that's a refrigerator verse right there. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can even understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So the third secret to emotional health is to pray. Friends, nothing produces self-control in our emotions quite like prayer does. Again, that's why prayer is such an important spiritual discipline in our life. In fact, we see here that God promises us peace through prayer because prayer always refocuses us back on God. So think about it. Here's what happens is that we're going through life and all of a sudden somebody says something over here that hurts me. And all of a sudden I'm not focused on God anymore. I'm focused on my hurt. I'm focused on this problem over here. And then all of a sudden something happens at work that now I'm worried about. And so I'm over here worrying about this and I'm fretting and I've got anxiety and all these things going on. What do I need to do? You need to refocus. You need to refocus on your hope. And your hope is in Christ. And once you pray, prayer centers us. And once we're centered on Jesus, it's like all of a sudden there'll be a peace that will come over you because all of a sudden you remember, oh yeah, God, you have my back. I don't need to worry about all this because I can trust you. And that's why prayer is so vital in our life. And that's why every day of the week, I would encourage you to start your day with prayer. When you climb out of bed, sometimes your mind is already moving. You're already thinking about all the stuff going on and your emotions are just all a roller coaster. And prayer, it'll just start your day by refocusing you, centering you on Christ. so that you can begin by saying, you know what? I know Jesus has a plan, and I know Jesus has my back because there's an upper story, so I'm not going to let the lower story worry me. I'm going to trust him, which calms us down and brings our emotions in check. Listen, where prayer focuses, power falls. Where prayer focuses, power falls. Where prayer focuses, God's peace is experienced. If you want emotional health, you need to have a daily routine of prayer in your life. Let's move on to the next one, verse 8. It says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. That's intentionality. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So the fourth secret to emotional health is think positively. You know, we have a tendency to focus on the negative, don't we? We have a tendency to focus on all of our problems, which has an adverse effect on our emotions. Worry begins to take hold. Fear begins to get a grip on us, and we start to play the what-if game. Well, what if I don't graduate? Or what if I can't find another job? Or what if she leaves me? Again, friends, listen to me. That's when our emotions play havoc on our choices and keep us from making wise decisions. So we need to be intentional, which we talked to, he said, fix. We need intentionality with our thought life. Friends, hear me. You say, well, Steve, I can't help what I think about. Yes, you can. We can decide what we think about. At any moment, if I recognize my thoughts are going down a wrong path, I'm thinking about all these negative things, and I realize that I can stop and say, I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to think about all the good things that happened in my week. I'm going to think about all the God things that just happened in my week. Reflect on those things. Keep a heart of gratitude. Look at verse 9. So you got to just keep doing this over and over. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Paul has demonstrated all this while he was there. He taught all these things while he was there in the church. And he said, you've seen it. Now what you have to do is you need to practice it. You just need to keep doing it over and over and over again until you create a habit in your life. So the fifth secret to emotional health is obedience. In other words, just decide, you know what? I'm going to obey God's word. Everything that I've given you today is truth found in Scripture. So if you begin to apply these things on a daily basis, if you apply them, 21 days of doing anything, they say, creates a habit in our life. So if you just keep doing these things over and over, it'll just become a part of your DNA. It'll just become a part of who you are. Decide to obey God's word. Sometimes our emotions cause us to question the truth of God's word. God's word tells us to do something, but we think we know better. Now, if you're honest, you've been there. I've been there. I hate to admit that publicly, but I've been there. I've been there at times when I know that the scripture is clear of what I need to do, but it's like, I don't want to do that. That's not what I want to do. This is what I want to do. I think it's going to be better. So somehow, some way, I don't know how I got to that point, but I thought I knew better than God. And friends, every time, the decision was a wrong one. Every time. It's always, if you want to make the best decisions in life, they have to be grounded on something solid, which is the Word of God. And that's why you need to use that as your baseline. But Steve, I feel like God wants me to get out of debt before I tithe. Or I know what the Word of God says about sex outside of marriage, or I know I'm married, but God's brought this person in my life. You see, friends, hear me on this. God is not going to override his word. I don't care who you are. I don't care how special your mother told you you were. God is not going to override. You're not a special case. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to put him first with every area of your life. Again, friends, God's word trumps our feelings every time. So practice obeying God's word, even when you don't feel like it. You see, that's faith. The Bible says without faith. It doesn't say without faith it's hard to please God. It says without faith it's impossible to please God. You want to please God, the only way you please God is when you're willing to trust him, when you're willing to believe him. You know, God, I'm not feeling this, but I'm going to trust you with it anyway. That's faith. That's faith. For me to be able to say, you know what, God, everything within me feels like this is what I want to do. But since your scripture tells me to do this, I'm going to obey it. I don't feel this, God, but I'm going to obey it. That's what faith is. Friends, you will never, please hear me, you will never be happy or feel contentment when you are disobeying the Word of God. I once heard someone say that the most miserable people on earth are not those without God, but the most miserable people on earth are believers who are living in disobedience. So you have to decide you're going to live a life of obedience. And if you do, it will affect your emotions in a very healthy way. Listen, emotions are a beautiful part of the image of God that we bear. As we learn to manage our soul and channel our feelings in accordance to the truth of God's word, we will more fully experience this life as God intended for us to experience it. Friends, God wants us to have a healthy emotional life, but we can't do it on our own. We need God's help. Satan, on the other hand, and Jesus didn't beat around the bush. Jesus made it as clear as he possibly could. Satan, on the other hand, Jesus said, is out to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. John 10, Jesus said, the thief, Satan, is out to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. He said, well, he doesn't care about me. I promise you he wants to destroy you. I promise you he does. And so he will try to use your emotions against you. He'll try to get you full of worry and full of doubt or full of anger. He'll try to use those emotions against you. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, he says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And I promise you, we all experience temptations, every one of us. They're no different than what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptations to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, you will be, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. God is not going to allow the enemy to tempt you beyond what you can handle. Sometimes I know you feel like it, feel like he is, but I promise you, his word is true. He'll not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle. So though we may struggle and wrestle with our feelings, we know that God is faithful and he's always going to be there with us. God knows our limitations. So when you get frustrated and you just say, I just can't control my emotions, you need to understand you're calling God a liar because he says you can. God promised to see us through if we trust him. In James chapter 1, it says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. We just finished up last fall. We did a series on the life of Joseph, the Joseph in the Old Testament. And we said that Joseph, if you remember, was raised to rule Potiphar's household. And he basically said that everything, you know, you have free reign over my household, except for Potiphar's wife. But Potiphar's wife wanted Joseph to go to bed with her, and she continued to try to seduce him until finally he had to run because she tried to pull him in to her bed. And you can imagine for a young single guy how difficult this was. But the point is, Joseph faced sensuality and he won. Self-control over our emotions. Moses overcame anger. Elijah beat depression. Daniel faced peer pressure successfully. Paul refused to be bitter. Timothy conquered his fears. Friends, God does not want you to be defeated by your feelings, by your emotions. He wants you to live in faith and to use these secrets we've talked about today to promote emotional health in your life. So here's my concluding statement. If you're serious about getting emotional health, and you say, you know what, I really do want to work on this because I can see exactly what you're saying, Steve. Oftentimes, my emotions are what are getting me in trouble. I go with my feelings, and it gets me in trouble every time. And you want to take some steps to get emotional health, then you do not want to miss this series, Healing is a Choice. I read Stephen's book about 18 months ago, and it's a big book, and I usually don't like to grab a book that thick. Usually mine have pictures, and but I couldn't put it down. It is extremely well written, extremely well done, and it is so helpful. It was helpful to me, and I believe that it'll be helpful to you. So make plans to be here. Make plans to bring people you know maybe are struggling or hurting emotionally in any way. Well, Father, I thank you and I praise you for your faithfulness. And I just ask God for each and every one of us that we would submit completely and totally to you. And that, God, we would bring our emotions, we would bring our feelings under your influence, because we all want to be spirit-led people. We don't want to be emotionally led or soul-led, but we want to be spirit-led people. So I thank you and I praise you that you love us and you want the best for us. And it's your desire that we would be in an intimate relationship with you, God. Thanks, Lord. Be with us this week as we begin a new week. We love you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I love you guys. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Northview Church podcast. We're so glad that you joined us. If you have questions about something you heard in this week's message or would like to share how God has impacted your life, please email us at info@northviewchurch.us. For more information about Northview, visit us at www.northviewchurch.us. Have a great week and be sure to join us again here at Northview Church.